nutrition advice on Talk About in association with Anne D'Arcy and the All Therapy Centre Tralee.
Anne D'Arcy has come through the rain all the way from Tipperary.
The sun was shining. I dressed for summer. The sun was shining in Tipperary.
Oh, dear. And you brought the rain with you.
Well, I met it halfway down the road.
You have very kindly agreed to speak about a subject that I suggested today, because it's something I've noticed, and I'm always interested in food and food trends. When you're in the supermarket now, there's a lot of products that are coming up, you know, so much percentage yogurt protein, high protein this, high protein that. Have we moved away from the low fat this and low sugar that? Is high protein now the latest food trend? And if so, why do we need high protein?
So protein is what builds your muscle to start with, and we need it. And it is it helps you to stay satisfied after you've eaten food. So when you eat protein with that meal, you get satisfied faster, because all those amino acids that are in the protein are going to become your muscle. And your body has this regulation system that says, I'm satisfied when I've met my quota of protein. So when you have that protein in the meal, you're full faster, you're more satisfied, and you're not going to overeat. So I think what they've realized is the high starch, high carbohydrate diet has led to an obesity and overweight epidemic, because the more
you're never full
and you have to keep eating. So the more sugar you eat, the more insulin comes up, and when your insulin rises, we become insulin resistant and we get high blood pressure, and then we're medicated for high blood pressure, or we are developing type 2 diabetes. We're putting the sugar that we're eating and we're converting it into fat, and we're putting it in the liver and we're getting fatty liver. Now that's causing complications for us. Or we're putting fat into the belly. So what happened was a theory came out, really, of the low-fat diet, but the low-fat products that we created had high sugar, and we created a whole imbalance in the system. The understanding is really back to saying that if you have protein, you're more satisfied. So when you eat a protein food, so if you start your day with a breakfast that has protein, so I had two eggs, and sometimes I'll have bacon, and sometimes I'll have leftover meat from yesterday. Or someone else might have cheese, or you could have an omelette with cheese or an omelette with chicken put in there, even for breakfast. And you match that then with the low starch vegetables, lots of good low carbohydrate vegetables. So for breakfast, it could be mushroom, onion, tomato. Like, that's reasonable to have in an omelette for breakfast. And if you still have some fat, that you might have put some butter on the pan, or you might have put coconut oil or some olive oil in there, you're satisfied, and you should have that meal hold you until lunchtime. Then you eat your lunch or your dinner. You again focus on protein mainly, and then you put in your vegetables, again the low starch vegetables. And if you put in the carbohydrate or the starchy food at the end of that meal, again you're satisfied and you're fueling up for the afternoon, so that by the time you get home at 6 or 7 o'clock, you have a dinner, you're back to these three meals a day. What happened with the high sugar and that not focused on protein approach and focused more on cutting the fat off the meat, what ended up happening was people were eating breakfast, lunch, dinner, and they were hungry in between. So they ate this carby, starchy breakfast cereal, maybe with low-fat milk, and then they ended up hungry again at 10 or 11 o'clock, and now they're snacking, and then they're snacking in the afternoon, and then they're snacking before bed. So people from the younger generation, like, are snackers in a way, whereas the older generation were three meals a day. So we grew up on three meals a day. There wasn't a question of it not being. We could have gone to primary school and not even eaten a lunch, and we didn't need it until 3 o'clock in the afternoon often. So the thing is that the protein keeps you full, and protein builds your strength and then your power. So as you get older, say, you have to say, am I still able to open the jar? You know, can you open the lid off a jar, or have you lost your power and strength? Are you able to carry the groceries? Are you able to carry them down the street? Or do you have to park the car near the door? Do you have to take the trolley and only barely lift them from the trolley to the boot of the car? Or can you carry the groceries? Have you the strength for that? Are you able to sit on the floor and get off the floor?
Or get up off the couch without putting your hands down.
Yeah, or can you do that? Or have you a struggle? What's your flexibility level? What's your strength level? And have you the power to do the things that you used to? So if your job requires you to have strength and power and you're out there manually working, have you still got that ability to do that? That comes from the muscle that is built from the protein that you eat. So it's really important. Like, I think it's great to have the focus on having the protein, because a lot of people have gone on to low fat, and therefore now they're reading the labels. You've heard me say say before, if you look at the low-fat yogurt and you see 18 grams of sugar, that's 3.5 teaspoons of sugar. But you wouldn't put 3.5 teaspoons. Now, in my day, I remember being sent to the shop and coming home with a 4-pound bag of sugar. We all had bags of sugar, but people burnt off the sugar that they ate. Nowadays, people are having no sugar, and yet there's an obesity epidemic, really. Like, people have put on weight. But the biggest issue is that the fat in your belly is leading you to heart disease. So focusing on reducing down the carbohydrate and helping you to increase the protein so you're satisfied for longer, so that you stop craving all those carbs. Because what do you crave when your blood sugar is low? You're going to go for something starchy.
Yeah, now, bread. Yeah, bread. Scones, those kind of things.
Anything made from flour. Anything made from, even potatoes. Like, you can have potato, or you can have a waffle, or you can have chips. They're all potato. But you can have a certain amount of potato, but you can't make your lunch or your dinner be 4 potatoes. You know, you have to control how much carbohydrate. And it's the balancing of the protein with the carbohydrates with the fats. Now, there's an app that I have on my phone. And my niece, who's diabetic, has it. You know, she's been recommended that from the hospital. And it's called Carbs and Cals. Carbs and Cals. And if you download it onto your phone, and I would challenge anybody for 1 week to just record exactly what they eat. And it's a very easy measurement, because it says, I had 2 eggs versus 3 eggs versus 1 egg. You know, I had 2 pieces of bacon, or I had half of that, you know, steak, whatever, you know, or I had 100 grams of steak versus 200 grams of steak. And then if you were to figure, I want to see how much protein I'm having, and on average you should be having, they say 0.8 of a gram per kilogram of body weight, which really, for, you know, us females, will say 30 to 50 grams of protein with a meal would help to keep us satisfied. So, you, and each meal should have some protein. So if you got to see, everyone has different days, right? You have a day that's here, you're at work, you have a day that you're at home, and then you have a day that you're out and about. And if you were even to challenge yourself in those 3 days to record what it is you eat and see, are you meeting a protein requirement? Are you getting up there to, you know, 40, 50, 60 grams of protein in your day? Like, would you have 30 grams? Now, 2 boiled eggs for me would bring me up to about 15 grams. So my breakfast is often just the 2 boiled eggs with, you know, some salad, vegetables, maybe 3 or 4 mushrooms, you know, a tomato. Would I be reaching, you know, 30 grams of protein? Not unless I put something else in with that. But now I'm just after having, you know, some ham and turkey. So that's giving me protein. And then tonight at supper, well, it depends whether I'm hungry or not. You know, it's like I'd probably go for something still with something protein in it, you know. So it could be a bit of cheese, or it could be some leftover meat, or, you know.
Yeah, so it's all about what makes you feel full, really.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about these protein yogurts, because I've only really noticed them recently. I know they've been around a long time. And there's a lot of them popping up in the shelves, and they're saying, you know, such and such a percentage of protein. Are they a good idea? Are they nutritious? Or do you need to read the labels?
Read the labels of whatever they are. But again, I would say that there will be a certain amount of protein in those. And for people who are having them, it's a bit like when some people can have a whey protein powder, and some people are making smoothies and they're focusing on putting the protein powders in. So if you were to put a protein yogurt as part of your smoothie, you're going to have that extra bit of protein in that yogurt. And now you can put in some berries, maybe some flaxseed, some chia seeds, ground chia seeds, maybe the ground up nuts and seeds, and you're making yourself a smoothie with that protein yogurt, and you're making yourself a more protein rich breakfast. Because when you go to bed at night, you stop building muscle, and you start to break down muscle overnight. And when you get up in the morning, you break that fast. That is what breakfast is. And you start encouraging muscle growth again, and you stop the breakdown of muscle by eating again. So the body is always making and breaking us based on what we've eaten. We are the result of what we've eaten yesterday, and we're the result of what we've eaten over the last 2 years, really. And then
lots more questions to ask you about protein, and I'm sure the listeners do as well. Is there anyone out there who has a specific question about protein and introducing more in their diet, or anybody who would recommend any particular high protein foods that they've tried that have made a difference? Why not share it with the rest of us? You'll find us on 083 300 3300. It's 2:15. More with Anne D'Arcy after these.
Nutrition advice on Talkabout, in association with Anne D'Arcy and the All Therapy Centre Tralee.
Now, we are talking to nutritionist Dan Darcy about protein, and it's really a buzzword in the nutrition industry at the moment. There's a lot of focus in the media, certainly, about why we all need more protein in our diets. And you've already touched on this, but I might ask you to elaborate. At certain times of life in particular, upping our protein is important. I presume women, when they're in the menopausal era, and probably men as they age as well, need to think about more protein.
You do, because you want to have your muscle. You need to keep that muscle strong. I heard somebody describe it as your metabolic Spanx. It's like it holds you together. It holds you in. Like our body and our internal organs are covered in muscle. Our abdominal cavity is closed in by muscle. And when we lose the muscle, we can get more loose. And, you know, so the protein you eat becomes the muscle. But remember that your muscle is also your heart, and that is a pump. Your muscle is your leg muscles for carrying you, so you can do the exercise and that you can, as I say, soak up all that extra sugar. So for the type 2 diabetics, it's really important to eat the protein to actually build that muscle to be that soak pit. But when we look at menopause, after menopause, women are losing progesterone, and even progesterone, progestation hormone, even that progesterone was helping to build muscle. But all our hormones are built from protein. So when we encourage protein, and we then, let me say, you have to exercise. You're not going to sit at home in a chair eating protein and assuming that you're going to build muscle. You have to make muscle work to build.
Get up off your ass.
You do have to get up and move. And the thing is, walking is one thing, and that's fantastic, you know. And we were just talking about walk. Both of us walk every day. Now, when I'm really, you know, wanting to put in some extra training into that, I will walk with wristbands, and my wristbands are 2 pound, you know, 1 kilo wristbands. So as I'm walking, I can still have 2 pounds on my wrist, so it's making my arms work as well, right? So you can add something to it. If you're at home, even to get up and down off a chair or to do press-ups against a wall, you know, it's not about having to go and work out, but it's to safely, without injuring yourself, add in extra exercise, going up and down off one step, you know, get up onto the step, come down off the step, go up again. And if you were to do that and you were able to hold that for a minute and you move from doing a leg exercise to an arm exercise, you are actually helping you yourself to build muscle. But lifting things, you know, putting, you know, say if you had a five, you know, the big 5 litre water with the handles.
Yeah.
Can you imagine walking? Years ago, people walked with buckets. Farmers were walking with buckets of milk, and you know, people were in and out with buckets of coal. You know, we've stopped doing all these extra
heavy
things
lifting
that we used to be carrying. But our arms were, every time that you lift something heavier than usual, you're forcing the muscles to break and rebuild and get stronger. And as you pull that muscle against your bone, you're forcing the bone to build. And we are seeing a lot more osteopenia and osteoporosis because we're not forcing the muscle to pull against the bone. So there's one thing about nutrition and getting the right nutrition for bones, but it's also about getting in, you know, the exercise is really important.
Absolutely. Just talk us through a diet. We'll say we'll go through a breakfast, dinner and a breakfast, lunch and dinner, supper, whatever you want to call it, and how you might bring more breakfast,
more protein.
Now, you mentioned eggs in the morning.
Now, some people can't handle eggs, but what about smoked salmon? What about having mackerel? What about having kippers? You know, there's a lot of breakfast foods that are based on fish. You know, so if you're a fish eater, introduce that. If you can't eat eggs, if you're intolerant, you'll have to move to another meat option. You could have bacon, as a lot of people doing turkey bacon. There's a lot of different options for some form of meat or beans. Baked beans have protein in them. So when you're eating your beans and then adding in vegetables, like proteins are very filling. Mushrooms are very filling. Mushroom, tomato, onion, making an omelette. That's a good breakfast. Now, for people who are having cereal, you want to up the amount of seeds or nuts, because that's going to supercharge that carbohydrate grain that's more, has more carbohydrate than protein, and then you're putting nuts and seeds in that will add more protein to that. And some people would even take that cereal and add in, say, a couple of tablespoons of ground almonds, you know, because you don't even notice that it's in there, but it's supercharging that breakfast. And you could have that yogurt with the higher protein yogurt through a cereal as well. You know, there's a lot of people doing granolas with some berries and then putting that high protein yogurt in.
And Kay says, just while we're on breakfast, and we'll move on to lunch in a second. Kay is a female in her early 70s. She says, I have a good bowl of Flavin's porridge with a dessert spoon of linseed oil and a kiwi for breakfast every day. I always thought this was a healthy breakfast. Will you ask Anne what she thinks?
Well, the kiwi
should she be adding more protein?
More protein. She could probably do it more protein to that breakfast. But the flaxseed oil is giving her fats that will slow down the release of the carbohydrate. So if she's having the flaxseed oil with the porridge, which is more carbohydrate, has some protein, and she's having the kiwi, that's fruit, it helps her to digest, the kiwi has digestive enzymes in it, then if she's feeling good until lunchtime, that is keeping her stable. If she's hungry again at 11 or 12 o'clock, then she should add in some protein, maybe in the form of ground seeds. A lot of people have diverticulitis, afraid of seeds, but when you have them ground up, they're crushed by the bags that are pre-crushed seeds, then you're adding protein.
I would have assumed seeds were carbohydrates, so seeds are protein.
They have protein and carbohydrate and oils, but yeah.
Anne-Marie Cronin wants to know, what does Anne think of protein bars?
You'll have to read the labels on them again, because if that protein bar that you have says it's got 50 grams of carbohydrate in it, then you're eating 10 spoons of sugar. Because yeah, it's so, 5 so grams of carbohydrate. So some of them can be great and some of them are much too high in sugar for what you want.
Texter says, will you ask Anne, is there protein in tuna? Is that a good source of protein?
Yes, any fish, tuna is a good source of protein. And when it's in with, in its normal state and you're eating, fresh fish, you're getting protein and good fats. And it's a great balance of good fats.
A lady in her 60s is wondering, would Anne recommend any particular protein yogurt that isn't high in sugar?
No, because I don't buy enough of it. I tend to buy a yogurt that is the full fat yogurt rather than low fat. So, I'll go down and get the Glenisk full fat. I don't buy the low fat yogurt.
The protein ones aren't necessarily low fat.
No.
I think I might answer that because we were talking about this at work earlier, and there's an Icelandic yogurt that is high in protein and low in sugar.
Yeah.
Just to tell that lady.
That would be ideal.
Yeah, it's Icelandic. High protein, low sugar.
Yeah.
And I got it in Super Value and Trilly, so they are out there. And to move on to lunch, for somebody who wants to bring a healthy sandwich to lunch, how can they pack the protein into the sandwich?
Again, look at your sandwich first to see what your bread is like. And if it's white or brown, very light bread, there's a lot of carbohydrate in that one. Spelt, by its nature, has more protein than wheat. So buying a pan loaf made with spelt is often easier to digest. Then you're wanting to put either ham or turkey or, leftover meat. There was always leftover meat in people's fridges, over the years, so that you were chopping a piece of, real beef going into that. Or bringing a can of fish with you and opening it and making your sandwich fresh, at work. So fish, cheese, if people can handle cheese, goat's cheese, cow cheese if they can handle it. So that is strongly protein as well. Peanut butter, almond butter. Just remember the nut butters are a great way of getting in a nice gentle protein. Are you satisfied and full with that? So everybody is so individual as to how much they can digest. I see a lot of people on acid blockers. They've hiatus hernia and they're on medications to block acid. A lot of those people have a harder time digesting proteins and they're craving more carbohydrate. So, some people need a digestive enzyme to help them handle the protein. Because I meet a lot of people who say, I'd love to eat that, but it doesn't sit well with me. I don't digest that. It sits heavy. So sometimes you need that digestive enzyme to help you digest that protein. And remember that over the years, as people have been put on acid blockers, their ability to break down protein has been reduced and they've stopped eating as much protein, or they're going for minced meat and sausages and broken down food already. But it's really important to digest the protein with the enzyme as well. A supper is supper or dinner depending, and again, if you're on meat and veg and then you're having your potato, it's when we're eating more potato than meat and veg that we're more inclined to put on the weight in the belly.
Okay, so the ideal plate. Now I know you can actually buy the plates that have marked out. This is how much meat, this is how much carbs. But ideally, you're saying maybe less pasta and spuds, more meat.
Quarter of the plate really is all you need for that. Half a plate of veg, and you're looking at root veg, and so that would be all the coloured veg with all the high beta carotene, vitamin A, great for skin, great for healing the gut. Then you're looking at the green vegetables, whether it's you know, cabbage, or whether it's broccoli or leeks, or, and then onions and garlic, of course, fantastic for detoxification, great for your immunity. And the combination of all those vegetables is they're feeding the good bacteria in your gut. That good bacteria, for some people, for everyone, is making serotonin for your brain chemistry, you know, GABA to calm your brain, but it's making all the B vitamins, it's making coenzyme Q10 for energy. Like, we need to feed the good bacteria, and we feed it with the vegetables and the fruit fibers and the nuts and the seeds, as well as the berries, like all of that extra food. When we're focused only on bread,
yeah,
and spud and a little bit of everything else, then we're not feeding the bacteria and we're going to not work as well. We're not going to be working well.
Marie says, if you were to add protein powder to your diet, like in a smoothie, can it cause you to gain weight if you're not exercising a lot?
It tends not to. It's hard enough to build muscle. You know, really working on building muscle is hard enough to build the muscle. And the protein won't necessarily turn into fat. If you're having that with a lot of, you know, fat and sugar together will build fat. Putting in the protein powder will tend not to just make you fat.
The texter says, Anne, would you recommend tuna in oil or tuna in brine? Which is better?
You know, the oils are often a sunflower oil, and I don't know, you know, I know shines are often in olive oil, and I tend to buy those, that can of sardines and stuff, that and tuna that's in olive oil. Brine is great. It's in salted water. If you have problems with salt, like a kidney trouble, like a lot of our type 2 diabetics with insulin resistance that are having sugars that are hard to control are aggravating their kidney. The high sugar in the blood is damaging kidney. If you've been told you have kidney problems, if the bloods are showing some kidney problem, you really want to be avoiding the salt and reducing the salt. So if you have kidney problems, high blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, when you look at any food that's in brine or having salt, you really have to focus on reducing that salt. It's not healthy for you.
Margaret is 61 and she sent us an email. She says, I need to lower my blood sugar. I'm pre-diabetic and I want to make sure my diet is as sugar-free as possible, which is very hard and I don't know what to do.
Globin A1C, and they're saying, well, it's gone over 42. You are now in that pre-diabetic stage. If you don't control it, you will be diabetic and you'll be on medications. With, I'd say, all the different complications of blood pressure and kidney problems that can come with that. And, you know, just remember, starch is a long chain of glucose. So it's not just that people say, I'm not buying sugar. You know, I don't buy sugar. I don't have the sugar bowl out. I don't put the spoon in the sugar bowl. But when you're eating starch, which is flour and everything made from flour, when it's potato and everything made from potato, like potato waffles and the like, that's all one big chain of sugar. And we eat it and think it's okay, but it's all about quantity. It's about how do you burn it off? You know, are you getting exercise? Like your truck driver who's out there and got soaked today, he was obviously out busy doing some kind of work that he was out in the rain.
Probably lifting as well.
Lifting, lugging, and what he's done is he's burning off the food that he ate, you know. Now, if he also has a belly he's not losing the belly, he's sitting in the truck more so and he's eating and not burning it off. But the more you burn off the food that you eat, it won't park in your belly as fat and it won't park in your liver as fat. It's when we eat sugar to excess, and picture all the people who are out training or who had busy days at work and now they don't, you know, now the weight is coming on, and that's when you really need to work with it. And again, the high carbohydrate, high starch diet is damaging and triggering type 2 diabetes. It's triggering heart disease in that it's raising blood pressure. It's linked to polycystic ovaries and the fertility issues associated. It's linked to erectile dysfunction that nobody wants. You know, male or female, let me tell you, don't want to be dealing with that one. But all linked to sugar and sugar problems. So when I'm seeing people in clinic, I'm seeing people with all of those complaints, sometimes overlapping in people. And you look at it and you say, well, it's all coming from the high sugar diet, the insulin resistance because of that. And from that, you have to look and say, what am I eating? What am I producing? And what way is my body working? And if it's working right, great. And if it's not, you, the individual, can make changes.
Yeah, it's all down to what you eat. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have to leave it there, and the questions are flying in for you. And I'm sorry again to anybody I didn't get around to, whose question I didn't get around to asking. And that was really interesting, really informative. Thank you so much. Remind people how they can contact you.
So I'm at All Therapy Centre here in Rock Street in Tralee. I'm here on a Thursday, sometimes on a Friday as well. So it's my number is 087-775-9385. And All Therapy is 066-718-5229.
If people want to make an appointment. And thank you so much for that.
Thank you, Deirdre.
And we'll chat to you again in August.
Thank you very much.